This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 2, Legal Regulatory Issue, held on the 22nd of February, 2018. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect only. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Michael Fleming. Please begin.
Thank you for that introduction, and welcome everyone to this week's call. My apologies as we had to cancel our last meeting due to unforeseen illness as well as not being very well prepped in time. However, we've taken that time and we have compiled our progress document in its entirety. You can see that we have everything, our topics in here, for your pleasant viewing. This can also be seen on the Google Docs, which the link is in the agenda window. You can copy and paste that into your browser and follow along with us in a better, on a bigger screen if you would like, which I might actually be doing myself because I can't read the text here very well. So I would highly recommend that. As is the formality for most of our working track calls, I will just quickly ask if anyone has an SOI update. Hearing none, I will move on. But before we get into this week's discussion, I just wanted to say thank you for those attending. I do know we have an overlapping call with the GDPR discussions being held by the IPC and the BC with ICANN senior staff. Unfortunately, this call was planned ahead of time. That call kind of got scheduled, from at least my knowledge, after we had scheduled this call. So we are holding this as planned, noting that we still have a very tight schedule to keep in order to make sure that we are on track for delivering our material to the full working group for the initial report. I would like at some point, and probably I think we have a meeting next week as well, to share with this work track what the foreseen schedule is moving forward. But I'm not going to do that this week as this was not intended for this call, unless I might be able to call on staff to provide an update, or if they're not prepared, then we can just have that discussion next week, which might be a bit better for everyone's schedule. And I do note that we're having some arrivals come in. That's great. And so just speaking a little bit about the document that we have here, the progress report, that we have compiled all of our topics into here for everyone's, not only their viewing pleasure, but also in order to engage feedback on the mailing list. I know that we've been kind of stagnant with that, but Sophia and I and staff have worked very hard to put this out there to get something written for everyone to consider, and so that we can have individuals look at this and provide comments, provide suggestions to maybe how these need to be written or what further information we need to include for our steps forward or even the deliberations if we failed to capture something that should be included in here as well. Ultimately, the goal is to have this material, as it's written in here, contribute to the initial report, and hopefully most of it is already written here, but if not, we'll be looking to collect further information for the initial report. But this is kind of a good preview for what I think you can expect. It'll be a different format, but safe to say that most of the arguments reached will fall along this lines. Kathy, your question, the time frame for evaluation, thoughts, and edits of this document. So right now I think we recently had a meeting with the leadership to discuss the upcoming schedule. And Steve made a good note that we'll leave the full timeline for the full working group call. But at the same time, I think leading up to the ICANN Puerto Rico in the upcoming weeks, I would like to have individuals review this and provide suggestions upcoming. If there are no edits or if there are no suggestions in the upcoming next 2 weeks or so, I would say, then we'll probably move forward with this as is. But again, this document itself isn't necessarily reaching for ultimate conclusions. There's always room for feedback, and I would very much welcome anyone to contribute to this. So this week's call is on vertical integration. We had a call, I think, roughly earlier this year or late last year on the vertical integration topic, but we're hoping to kind of touch on our last bit of recommendations and how we foresee to move forward. And it is vital that we have some deliberations today about our path forward, because currently we don't have any final consensus, just more so what we've kind of read as the temperature in the room, if you will, about how we foresee this moving forward and what the general tone is. So I am going to transfer over to the full progress document in the Google Doc, as this is text is very hard to read. I would ask that Sophia...
And this is Terry from staff. It does appear Michael's line just dropped, so hopefully he'll rejoin here shortly. And we'll just give Michael a moment. He's rejoined on the Adobe Connect to reestablish his audio connection.
I am so sorry about that. I was moving my tab here to have it closer to the Google Doc, and I accidentally closed it. Kathy, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
No, thanks, Michael. Can you hear me?
Kathy, I can only slightly hear you. Could you perhaps speak closer to the microphone or turn up your microphone volume? Thank you.
I will raise the volume and relocate the cell phone. Okay, so here's the question. Did I understand that we're going to be taking kind of a pulse in the room of various topics? If so, I want to suggest it might be premature. We do have a lot of people who are I was in the EU in the GDPR meeting that started at 9 a.m. Eastern. So we have people who are there, and also we're just seeing a lot of this material for the first time. So it seems a little early to take a pulse. Maybe next week?
I don't think we'll take like a poll as people to vote on issues more so, but this is just an opportunity to further develop how we foresee us moving forward. This isn't this isn't a final decision, and we're not making the final decision today. We're taking time to engage individuals' opinions about how we can move forward. This is the first time probably a lot of individuals are seeing this, and we recognize that. This is the result of staff and leadership collaboration from the deliberations about how we possibly could move forward. This is just us proposing and hopefully to get opinions here so we can better develop that. And individuals are also welcome to review the material over the mailing list. I shared this last Friday, so it's been about a week that it's been out there. But the more feedback we can have, the much better conclusions we can reach. I hope that answers your question. And once again, I'm going to be moving over to the Google Doc. It is on page 11, as Steve has provided in the chat. Jim, you have a question. How will these be incorporated into the doc? Who makes that call? Is the work track co-leads? That's a good question, but at this point, we haven't had any feedback yet, so I really haven't really considered that fully, but I think any suggestions will be recorded as suggested. And, of course, we will engage with the full working track about the suggestions to include them in any final conclusions. I think that would be a proper way of moving forward. Jim, you're typing. I'll just let you finish typing, and then we'll I'll move over to the Google Doc to go over to today. Yes, we will make sure to do that. This will not be a final document Let me rephrase that. This will not be the final document. The final document will be the initial report. So any suggestions that are made here will be reflected into the initial report. Great. Okay, I'm going to move over to my other screen here, so I will not be seeing the chat. Sophia, I ask that you actually look into the chat in order to make sure that we have any questions. Apologies for any background sound I might have. Okay, so page 11 on... Hello?
Oh, no, Mike, I just said I'll monitor the chat as you requested. Sure.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay. Okay, so page 11. I've got to get to page 11. Where is it? Here it is. So we've discussed vertical integration in detail. We've looked at the history of how a switch from registry and registrar separation to vertical integration occurred. We're not going to go over that specifically today, but we examined initially the proposed potential benefits and harms of vertical integration. We also reviewed mechanisms that were introduced to deter abusive activity in the form of the Code of Conduct, as well as Section 2.9 of the Registry Agreement. And we explored whether the mechanisms introduced have fulfilled their intended purpose or if additional mechanisms are required. If this work track determines that additional mechanisms are required, policy development concerning that will be required. Since we have very few participants, I'm just going to ask, can I safely assume that we have, that the individuals here present today have enough background with understanding about what we discussed in regards to vertical integration, or should we cover the deliberations in full? If possible, I'd like to spend the majority of the time covering the proposed paths forward for how we can reach recommendations, or perhaps it would be best for me to go over those first and then go back to deliberations if anyone has any questions about how we reached the proposed path forward. Does that seem adequate? The latter, perfect. All right, I will do that. Okay, so paths forward are on page 13. Just as an overtone, this working track will not be referring back to a separated environment. Vertical integration is kind of here to stay, but what we're doing is the deliberations mainly looked at how and if any issues arose. But part of the high-level agreement from what we've reached is that from the deliberations, there does appear to be general agreement for maintaining vertical integration while allowing greater flexibility on granting code of conduct exemptions to registry operators that are qualified. Now, there is no consensus on what additional mechanisms should be developed in order to determine the sort of exemptions that may be granted, but it would be beneficial for the work track to further review issues raised by CC2 comments and then deliberate on the types of exemptions recommended by some working track members and then seek further agreement within the working track on any additional policy development. Currently, we are seeking further information from ICANN compliance, further data And we had some questions that we sent out to them initially, and the result of that was that there seemed to be some insufficient information. Therefore, we discussed in our last call about what types of questions we could follow up with. And the questions that we are currently asking are, you can see from A to F, but how many registry operators are vertically integrated? Of that number, how many operate multiple TLDs? How many complaints were there against registry operators overall, regardless of whether or not due to vertical integration? This is so that we can kind of engage the percentage of what complaints in regards to vertical integration there are. And of the complaints referenced in the 1B answer, which was originally sent to us, how many of the registry operators were those 10 complaints against? And just for some quick knowledge, the 1B, our original question was asking how many complaints they had received in regards to vertical integration itself. And the answer that was that it would have to deal with both the code of conduct as well as section 2.9, I believe. So, and there were only about 10 complaints that were really raised in that, and that seemed to be not necessarily skewed, but it seemed that we need to have more information. So we're asking how many registry operators specifically were those 10 complaints against, as well as confirming whether or not that dealt with section 2.9 of the RA. And our next question is, how many of those registry operators own more than one TLD or multiple TLDs? This is a very important question because there are a lot of vertically integrated registries that operate multiple TLDs. So if there is an issue, per se, then a complaint against one TLD has the potential to affect multiple TLDs if it's an action that wasn't mediated. And then F, how many of those registry operators were required to perform some kind of remediation regardless if they were found to be in breach or not? Originally, ICANN, the response that we received from compliance said that there were no unresolved issues from that. So I think that these are good questions, and we will have much more to discuss once we receive some replies on that. Currently, we don't have a head time about when we might get those answers back, but we are looking to engage with ICANN compliance as well as GDD to see when we might be able to receive some of those responses. And these questions were actually just sent rather recently, so let's give them a little bit more time before we start sending reminders. I'm just checking the chat to see if we have any questions in here. It seems that they are being resolved by Steve. Thank you very much. Okay. Or let me stop here and ask if anyone would like to get on the microphone and ask any questions. No, Christina, we haven't had that confirmation just yet. So we will engage further with them to make sure that we can get those. But I do believe we'll get those. Okay. I don't hear anyone, so I'll move on to the second step that we are looking at moving forward before reaching recommendations. There was a comment in the CC2 from the BC that supported exemptions where the registry operator can demonstrate that the term comprising the TLD string directly corresponds to a product name of the registry operator. It was kind of the result of our last call that we should seek clarifications from the BC on what a product name of the registry operator means in the comment that they posted. We haven't had any support or anyone disagreeing with asking this on the mailing list, so again, we're putting it here, and I would like to open the floor to see if there is support for pursuing this. Let me move back over to chat, and do we have support for sending this, for seeking clarification from the BC as to what a product name might mean? I think the intention would be that it's a, if it's a company, it might be a brand, but not necessarily qualify as a specification 13, for example. Jim, that's, if you could do that, that'd be great. But I think that they're kind of in discussion about the GDPR right now. I think a formal, either a formal letter or just seeking some feedback from off the, in regards to this question about members from the BC would be very helpful. So, okay, I see Jim supports. Does anyone else support? I see typing. Not yet. Okay. Christina, could I ask you why you don't support, or would you wait on us for a while to ask this question?
Christina was up for the transcript. It's because I'm trying to figure out what problem this is trying to solve. Because in many cases, you, for all intents and purposes, if you've got Spec 13, to some extent, you already have an exemption. Moreover, if you look at the TLDs that have, for which exemptions have been separately requested and granted, in many cases, it's where the TLD is essentially a dot brand, except for kind of a weird timing thing relating to when the underlying registration issued. So my reluctance is not any kind of philosophical disagreement. I just want to make sure I understand what problem they're trying to solve here, and I haven't really figured out what that Venn diagram looks like yet.
Have we lost Michael?
This is Terry. I do show where Michael is connected still, unmuted with an active mic. So, Michael, if you want to go ahead and check audio on your side.
Can you hear me?
We sure can now.
Oh, great. Okay. Sorry. So, Christina, thank you for that input. And I think the reason for us asking is because we are, in the same way, we feel unclear about what the BC is trying to say. Therefore, we're not sure what problem exactly they think we need to solve. And I can definitely relate on the side that for those brands that didn't qualify as Specification 13, a lot of them took the route of applying for the Code of Conduct, but what specifically does product of the registry operator mean? I think that will, if we have that clarity, we'll be able to have more insight about what they're recommending and whether or not we should further consider that as a recommendation for this topic. Any more input? Yes. Okay. All right, I'm not seeing any more input in regards to this. I think it would be beneficial to submit, to just at least ask them what it is that they mean in order to get that clarification. I'll just let you finish typing what you're typing now, and then move on to the next one. Okay, that's a good idea. So let's put a pin in it, ask for that clarification, and then come back to see how we can move forward on this. So I'm going to go back to my screen now. Can everyone still hear me? I can hear somebody. Okay, good. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so moving on to SEC 2 Recommendation 3. Regarding the comments for CC2 Question 2.6.3, some working track members suggested allowing full integration for dot brand registries and any single registrant TLD. In essence, this proposes leaving out the registry-registrar relationship requirement and the other aspects of Section 2.9 for the Code of Conduct exempt TLDs. This working track should further discuss and seek inputs from the group on whether the working track should address the full integration for Specification 13 brand registries and any of Code of Conduct exempt registries in this vertical integration topic. If yes, should we allow Specification 13 registry and Code of Conduct exempt registries to operate without a registrar? Let me rewrite that. So that's a big question. What are the pros and cons of this? This was a topic that was introduced when we were looking at the CC2 comments, but I don't think we were all on the same page at the time. But the more we read into the comments that were suggested, we feel that this is what is being proposed out of the CC2 comments. And moving towards a full integrated vertically integrated Specification 13 or Code of Conduct exempt would essentially say that those TLDs or those registries do not need to go through a registrar in order to register domains. Now, this opens up to a whole bunch of different questions in regards to the registry agreement and processes and other areas that we have not yet even deliberated upon, but do we foresee moving forward in this area? Yes. So, Kathy, to answer your question, I actually work with a company, GMO Rights Consulting, that is a specifically brand TLD or brand registry registrar. Now, putting my hat on here. Yes, Christina, we're talking about the ladder of self-allocation, but at the same time, the comments in the CC2, when it spoke about full vertical integration, they also said that a specification, these brand registries would no longer need to use a registrar. So that is the conclusion being reached, is that full integration would mean that it would be self-allocation. It would no longer be going through registrar to registrar domains. So in response to Kathy, what you were saying is when I put my registrar hat on, and it is a small one, we support moving forward, at least my firm does. We support this recommendation because it would actually provide brand registries with a lesser burden when it comes to the ICANN model. When a Specification 13 brand registry comes on to sign a contract with ICANN, it's a very foreign world for most of them. They don't understand the requirements in having to go through a registrar or register domains. In a lot of ways, it doesn't make sense. But essentially, losing this step would open up many doors and make, I think, process much easier to understand for registries. Kathy, could you provide more detail about the current role, what you mean by that? A current rule, I'm sorry, I can't read. The current rule is you have to use a registrar. So Specification 13 registries are allowed to limit the number of registrars, I think, to two specific registrars that they're choosing. Either it's two or three. Yes, three. Thank you, Christina. And as few as one. Sophia, you have your hand raised. Jim has a question. Okay, Sophia, go ahead.
Yeah, Jim did have a question in the chat. So that's a big question, but are we trying to resolve that among us, or is it being put to the larger community via the preliminary report? So that's his question.
Thank you. So, Jim, to answer your question, I would say that we would definitely put this out in the preliminary report. I think we probably summarized this to say that there was support for it. I don't think we'll reach consensus on this before we have to send out the initial report. But at the same time, I do think it's well worth mentioning and getting that feedback before we reach any consensus on this, as this is a big issue to consider, and it definitely impacts a lot of other areas other than the contract itself. Kathy, you have another question. You have to use a register unaffiliated with yourself in the case of vertical integration. So, yes, in the case of vertical integration, as it is now, you have to go through a third party that you are unaffiliated. For a lot of brands, your contracted parties are your back end as well as your registrar, and ICANN, of course, and then escrow. But so if you break it down to the bare minimum, I would say that you could lose the registrar and still have the relation with ICANN. And we can, so that they are contracted with ICANN, escrow, as well as the back end. Christina, I don't know what you mean, but that's not correct. Yes, sorry. You can select one that is an affiliate, but yes, I shouldn't jump to saying that. For many brands, although I do know that it is an unaffiliated party that they are contracting with for those. Speaking from my own personal experience. Kathy, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Michael, and thanks, Christina. I'm still confused as to the current rule because I thought it was, but I wanted to check because it's been a long time since I looked at it. I thought it was also that the current dot brand. Okay, so let me check that the current. What is the current rule? That the current dot brand can select up to three registrars, but can also select one that is completely affiliated with themselves. I just want to check: is there any independence requirement in there? Because of course, this overlaps the whole vertical integration issue.
Thank you for the question, Kathy. I think Christina has it down very clearly. So the specification 13 basically says that they do not need to be open to registrars. You know, any registrar that wants to contract with them or anything like that. It says specifically that they can limit the number that they are allowed up to three registrars, and they can have as few as one. And for this in regards to the it could be an affiliate as well. It doesn't provide any restrictions in regards to that. Kathy, you have your hand raised again. Please go ahead. Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Okay, go on ahead then.
Okay, so if we're going to go to the BC to ask some other questions, can we go to the registrar stakeholder group to ask them about these issues? Because they're the ones most directly affected by it and would have, you know, some of the probably, you know, valuable input for us as we're looking at this. So if we're going out to BC, can we go out to registrar too?
Thank you, Kathy. And I would support reaching out to those that have have provided the input in regards to this. I think it would be beneficial if we could get further input from the registrar stakeholder group. And I think they did provide feedback, but I can't say from recollection who exactly provided this feedback. But at the same time, the feedback in the CC2 comment was saying more or less that the contract should be brought up to speed so that brands are not required to be affiliate, to abide by the Section 2.9, as well as having, as well as being vertically integrated. And then how that's written, it says that the comment, it says that it's, if in the case that that would be brought up to speed, whereas Section 2.9 would be applicable, then they would not have to use a registrar. And I think from my own interpretation, that is what this is trying to say. So Emily has just provided the CC2 comments. Let's go ahead and read that out aloud just to make sure that we are all on the same page. So Emily has said that there's no comment from the registrar stakeholder group, but the comment that was asked that, sorry, provided this advice specifically was, let's see, so I believe Google was hinting in this area, as well as, there should be one more, I believe. The BRGs, as well as the registry stakeholder group, suggested that the specification 13 should also be, and the specification 9 exempt TLDs should not need to apply by the section 2.9, subject to the requirements of specification 11. Registry operator must provide non-discriminatory access to registry services to all ICANN accredited registrars, since it's not very applicable. But besides that one, there was another comments that actually support the idea of having it so that it is no longer required to even pass through a registrar. I'm just trying to make sure I'm gathering. So one was Google that suggested it. Where was the other one? Nominet said that the new GTLD.brand registry should be allowed full integration. Tend to keep doing this. Oh, here we are. From Janik, we had the comment that brands and any single registrant TLD should be allowed to register without using a registrar. Otherwise, keep vertical integration. So there were comments supporting this from a number of parties. So I do think it merits... the last comment, Kathy, which comment was it? Go on ahead.
The last comment. And then I still have my hand raised.
That was Janik, and whose last name I always mispronounce, but Janik Skow, or Janik Sko, said that .brands and any single registrant TLD should be allowed to register without using a registrar. And then I think Google really hit this area very clearly when they said that pre-existing requirements for registry-registrar relationships may not be fully tailored for today's domain name marketplace. One example is the concept of closed TLDs that emerged from the 2012 round. In the context of a closed TLD, the justifications for registry-registrar non-discrimination requirements do not clearly apply, given that the registry is sole registrant, will ultimately have discretion to select its registrar regardless of whether multiple registrars have been onboarded onto the platform. While the change made to the introduction of Specification 13, wherein qualified dot brand TLDs could select 1 to 3 preferred registrars aimed to address these issues, it may only be a partial solution. The working group should consider whether to permit closed TLDs to self-allocate all domain names, given that those domains will be self-registered, not sold. In any case, carve-outs granted to dot brands should be extended to TLDs that qualify for an exemption to the Code of Conduct, since these TLDs have a single registrant. Likewise, while registry and registrar separation restrictions were developed to promote competition in the marketplace, they may impede new entrants to the marketplace from competing effectively with legacy players. Google takes the requirements associated with crossover ownership of a registry and registrar seriously, and accordingly has experienced insufficiencies and additional costs on account of some of their separation requirements. These restrictions would likely have harsher effects on smaller businesses trying to enter the domain name marketplace. Go ahead, Kathy.
So Michael, my question had been whether registrars had commented on this, and Google is one of the largest registries. So all the more reason, I think, to reach out now to the registrars for input on this, since it was a topic of enormous discussion, both for the applicant guidebook and after the applicant guidebook. And so this expansion of the closed TLD, more than just brands that's being advocated and, of course, being argued against emphatically as well. But this seems a perfect time to reach out to registrars as they were very involved in this issue last time. And it appears that they have not commented on this. So I think it's important. Graham is still the head of the registrar stakeholder group. And I'm sure he would turn this around quickly because this is an issue that they've obviously already thought about before. And, you know, we could give them some of the variations that are being considered. But I think it's critical to hear from them. Thanks. And the traditional registrars, please. You know, the ones that are doing kind of, you know, the traditional registration process across many TLDs.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm going to summarize what you said just briefly because not everyone was able to hear you. But more or less, Kathy said that since there has not been input from the registrar stakeholder group in regards to this content, then Kathy recommends that we reach out to them most definitely. And how I would respond to that is I would say that I think we'll probably include this material in the initial report, and we will provide ample opportunity for them to respond. I'm not going to conclude this as a consensus item since we haven't had enough discussion to reach that. Can anybody hear me? Hello? Yes? Okay, good. So I think we'll include this item as it is now, probably with more detail in the initial report, and definitely we'll reach out to the registrar stakeholder group to ask them if they could provide input in regards to this because it's a very important issue, and I realize that there's a lot more at stake here than making it easier for code of conduct exempt and brand registries to move forward. Christina, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Christina Rosette for the transcript. Strongly support that course of action. I think it is inclusive yet efficient. To answer Kathy's question in the chat, I think, you know, the registrar stakeholder group had the same opportunity as every other stakeholder group and constituency to provide input to these questions. I've not gone back through the whole CC2 to see whether they participated at all. If they did and they did not comment on these particular points, it may be because they have no consensus. I don't know, but at this point, I am concerned about some of the delays that we're going to encounter if we start reaching out back out to particular groups to say, oh, you know, we didn't excuse me, see a comment on this issue. I think we have a way to handle that in that whatever view the work track reaches on this, we can flag that in the report and also specifically note that we would very much like additional comment and views from the community on this point. And that way we move forward and we're still making it very clear that we're taking additional input, not only on the report, but on this specific question as well.
Thank you, Christina. And Kathy, to kind of answer, there's an English word that I just cannot think of, to provide additional input in regards to what Christina just said, the initial report will be out roughly the timeline in my head might be a little fuzzy, but within enough time that if we were to reach out to the registrar stakeholder group individually about this topic, by the time they started to consider this, they would have the full initial report to consider as well. With us coming up with ICANN 61 2 weeks away, I think there's a lot of discussion already going on, a lot of preparation, and a little bit after ICANN 61, I think that we're looking to have that initial report out as soon as possible. So I think there will be much more opportunity for them to consider and provide better input after ICANN 61 when we have that initial report out. So, Kathy, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Again, if we're reaching out to the business constituency with a question about another area, it seems that it doesn't hurt our efficiency or delay us in any way to reach out for kind of initial thoughts from the registrars, given that they are, everyone's very busy right now in many different areas. So flagging it for them seems fair, seems consistent with what we've done on other questions, and we can give them a quick deadline for initial thoughts. With so many issues on so many different tables, it seems fair to do it for them if we're doing it for the business constituency. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. In regards to the business constituency comment, I think the reason we're suggesting to reach out to them is the fact that at least not necessarily in a formal way, it's just that their comment is unclear. So we have no idea about how to consider it. The majority of comments that we did receive, we understand what they're getting at and we understand what they want to say. But from the business constituency, there's lack of information to reach any final understanding about what they want to say. Whereas the registrar stakeholder group didn't provide any specific comment. And I'm not saying that they didn't get the opportunity I'm not saying that we gave them the opportunity, but they didn't respond. It's because they didn't see this until the CC2 comments even came out. So they didn't have had any opportunity to respond to this. BC is asking for additional input in regards to their initial comment because it's unclear. Reaching out to the registrar stakeholder group is asking for their specific opinion about somebody else's comment. And again, we're not discrediting that at this point, but we'd like everyone else to be able to consider those comments and provide input in regards to how we're moving forward. The BC's comment probably won't be included in nearly as much detail on the initial report for us to have a path forward. We don't understand it, so we don't know how to consider it as a path forward. Karen, you have your hand up as well, and then Alan, you have your hand up. So Karen and then Alan.
Yes, can you hear me, Michael?
Very clearly.
Okay. This is Karen Day for the record. I would actually like to advocate for treating the BC request the same way as the registrar request. And going a little bit further to Kathy, the way we're approaching the initial report, to my mind, the way that the initial report has been structured, and I'm speaking from having just come off of my work track, and I'm not in any means trying to impose what Work Track 3 has done on you and Sophia and Work Track 2, but there is a specific section in each issue topic where we call out specific questions that we are asking for the community to respond to the work track, to the topic in the initial report. So there is a dedicated place in the, this report that's going to come out just after we leave San Juan that's going to say, give the opportunity to say, registrars, we seek this from you. Business constituency, we seek this from you. We're seeking clarity on CC2 comments as well as brand new input. It's all across the board. I think we should do it the same approach for registrars, business constituency, everybody, whether they've had a bite at the apple already or not. We've got a dedicated space for it. That's the way the preliminary report was structured, and I think we should use it, save our time, move on, and let's get this report out. Thanks.
Thank you, Karen. And I see that Christina provided similar input as well, and Gigi also supports that. So I will. I think that's a very good that's very good feedback, and I can see that approach as well. So let's go with that. Alan, you have your hand raised as well.
Yes, I do. Maybe it's moot. I was going to support what Kathy said for a different reason, though. The ability of any registrar to sell any GTLD domain has been one of the pillars of ICANN. If we are moving farther away from that, and if the registrars are going to object strenuously to that and put up great arguments, we may as well hear that earlier rather than later. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So if we treat, I think from this, we see that we need to treat all parties for additional comments the same way. And time-wise, I just think that it's best if we wait till the initial report comes out to allow for those additional comments. If we would have been talking about this 3 months ago and we were coming back to it, I think it would have been very beneficial for to reach out that time. We're just getting this to this now, and time-wise, we know that the initial report is coming soon, or hopefully coming soon. And as Karen has clearly stated, that's a dedicated space for that. So let's invite the BC, let's invite the registrar stakeholder group to provide further commentary at that time. There is one last recommendation for further work necessary before we move to recommendations. That is number 4. I would like to quickly cover that in the 6 minutes we have left. So although we've made significant progress in the discussion of vertical integration, there is a theme, however, that was part of the issues report about registrar standardization and specifically dealing with the variability of registries and the agreements, so the RRAs with registrars. A lot of the contracts that came out with registries and to registrars were, while a lot of them did follow a similar model, again, that's a personal experience, there's a lot of variations as well. So structure-wise, it would be very beneficial if we could make further progress in the discussion about whether or not we should make a recommendation about having, I think, standard format, I believe is what the initial report might have suggested. But again, this is a topic we haven't had any discussions on, so I would like to open the floor for any input in regards to that. And Christina, you already have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Christina Rosette, Amazon Registry. I actually strongly oppose requiring any kind of standardization across registry operators. We draft the agreements that we believe that we need and that we want and that are appropriate for our business models. So if you require standardization, you're basically it's just kind of essentially incompatible with the types of innovation that this program was intended to introduce. I'm still not entirely sure as to what problem we're trying to solve by requiring standardization, other than you know, making it easier and faster for a registrar. And you know, if there are some other data points on that, I would love to hear them. But at this point, you know, our view is that each registry operator should be permitted to write the registrar agreement that best suits its business model.
Thank you, Christina. I understand what you're saying, and I definitely appreciate the feedback, and I'm not against that or anything like that. I'm just trying to make sure I'm stating this clearly, what the issues report said. Perhaps it's not standardization, but it's looking at ways to make this more efficient. Perfect. Steve has just posted it. Let me make sure I'm quoting it right before we start getting into any specifics here. Let's see, variability. So the member RAs can vary from registry to registry, and with a growing population of registries, the increasing variability will make it more challenging for registrars. Instituting some additional measures for RA standardization, okay, it does mention state standardization, may be helpful. Most of the specific concerns related to non-discriminatory treatment or access to registry services, and including requiring the provision of RA in languages other than English as a non-binding reference copy, response time requirements for registries to accreditation requests, sunrise notice requirement expanded to availability of complete accreditation documentation and agreements at the time of the sunrise, registry requirements to disclose all promotional programs offered to registrars, more transparency in contracting, and removal of mandatory pre-registration TMCH notices to registrants. So it does appear to be standardization. Christina, your hand up again. I'm assuming that's new hand.
It is, and I think in many cases, all of the comments that I made before are going to apply here, in the sense that, you know, for example, for some of our TLDs that are not in English, we may provide a copy of the RRA in that language, but make clear that the English version controls. But that shouldn't be a requirement on the registry operator. That should be something that they have the option to do. And if it's something that they are interested in doing, they will do it, because after all, that's something that could potentially get more registrars signed on. In terms of the response time requirements and all of the others, you know, I'm not really quite sure what the specific problems were, but I would say that, removal of mandatory pre-registration TMCH notices to registrants. I'm not sure that is related here. But I'm going to stick with my original comment that I think we need to be able to, registry operators need to be able to have the flexibility to write the registrar agreement that best suits their business. That as, you know, and as long as it contains all of the elements that are required in the registry agreement, then, you know, how they phrase those, what their timing is, whether they provide all of their, you know, the eligibility policies at once or as each phase wants, that should be totally up to the discretion of the registry operator. Again, if you try and put everybody into the same mold, you're going to end up with the same registry, which, as I understand it, is one of the reasons we are having this, had this program in the first place.
Thank you, Christina, and I note that, and I can see that input very much so. I would only ask at this point if we see that this is something we should be open more so to discussion about, or if we should just kind of move forward what we've already discussed and leave this off the table for now. That is an option. I don't see any feedback. Leave what off the table. I'm just saying that since this is a discussion that we haven't had until these last 6 minutes, perhaps it would be best if we move forward in the initial report with what we have already discussed rather than raising this topic right before and trying to seek a bunch of feedback that we may not be able to reach any consensus upon. Christina's comment and feedback is the first we've had. It would be nice to have significant registrar's preference discussion. Okay, that's good. So let's just open it to the mailing list for now. I don't think we'll reach anything before the initial report, and we still have time after the initial report to discuss this in more detail. But with that, I don't want to keep everyone today. I know there's a few individuals typing. But I will bring this meeting to a close. Okay, great. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we will see you again next week at, don't quote me on this, but I believe we'll send out the next meeting in the email. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a lovely rest of your day.